Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the social program on Radio Islam International on this lovely Thursday morning. We are joined by Maulana Ibrahim Baham in studio this morning. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
Good to have Maulana with us in studio. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah. Always good to meet the Radio Islam team. Allah Ta'ala give them Barakah, Allah Ta'ala grant them blessings. Amen. And Allah Ta'ala grant blessings to all our listeners, esteemed listeners of Radio Islam. Allah Ta'ala grant them and the entire Ummah protection from some of the challenges that we are facing.
Ameen. Good to have Maulana with us. This morning on the social program, we're speaking about advices on the third wave. With the COVID cases, the coronavirus spiking dramatically in the country and more so in Gauteng in the last few weeks, Maulana will be discussing or sharing with us some advices on the third wave. I think yesterday just alone there was over 10,000 cases that were reported in Gauteng alone. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, there are no immediate signs of it slowing down. It's been a very difficult period going through this third wave. Many people have lost family members. Many people have family members that are ill, or friends, or people in the community. And it's really been a difficult time for the community, Maulana.
Yes, I think it is. It has been. And I must say that maybe as a community, in comparative to many communities of the world, South Africa seems to be a very unique community, our Muslim community. The world community, the world Muslim community, by and large have been taking this particular pandemic seriously. South Africa, for whatever reasons, Allah knows best, we have been rather complacent with regard to the matter. But irrespective of what are the reasons, irrespective of why, the fact of the matter is it has come home, and there are very few families, if any, who have not been affected, who have not been infected, who have not been affected, who have not had some sort of challenges within their own close family or from a broader, the extended family. We make dua for everyone. Amen. Everyone, whoever has had any type of difficulty, any challenge, illness, who has contracted the virus, the COVID-19 virus, no matter what it is, we make dua for everyone. Who those who have passed on, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. There is a hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that gives the glad tidings that those who have passed on from this virus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the rank of shaheed. And we make dua that Allah ta'ala grant them that rank. Those who are ill, Allah Ta'ala grant them shifa'a kamila, ta'ima mustamira. Allah Ta'ala grant them complete and a speedy recovery and shifa. Anyone who sort of doubts the difficulty that people go through with regard to COVID should listen to the very emotional testimony yesterday of Dr. Adil Kaka, and someone who grew up with me in Newtown Masjid in front of me, and then he went to Canada, where he relates the type of emotions and difficulty that he went. And his plea was, take this serious. It's a reality. It's don't be in denial. And it's really worthwhile listening to his personal experience that he has quoted and he has spoken about. And thereafter, those whom Allah Ta'ala has thus far, given them recovery, or those who have been protected, we make dua Allah Ta'ala, continuously protect them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them even further. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention in a hadith that there is nothing better that you can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than afiyat. So no matter what you deserve, no matter people can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, there is nothing more greater than asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat. Asking Allah, what is afiyat? Prosperity, good health. And that is something that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is'alu Allah al-afwa wal-afiyah, fa'inna ahadan lam yu'ta ba'da al-yaqeen khayran min al-afiyah. Ask Allah for afiyat. Ask Allah for health. Ask Allah for good condition. Ask Allah for prosperity. Ask Allah for ease. Don't tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, we are very strong in tawakkul. We are very strong. Bring difficulty upon us, aliyadu billah. We are not strong enough enough to take what. Therefore, Rabbana, wala tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. Oh Allah, don't bring upon us situations that we cannot bear. We make this dua. It's part of the Quranic dua. We don't show bravery in front of Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah, we can take it. No, we don't. We ask Allah for afiyat. You cannot ask Allah for anything better than afiyat. You cannot ask Allah Ta'ala anything better than good health, ease, prosperity. Don't ask Allah for difficulty. I mean, asking Allah for difficulty actually shows us a type of pride and arrogance. You know that, and Allah Ta'ala wants us to be humble in front of Allah. Even the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, when they were in difficulty, what did they do? Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam came to Madyan. He was alone. He had no support. He had no food. He had no provision. What did he say? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Oh Allah, I'm in need of any good that you can send to me. Right? Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was ill, he made dua, anni masaniya dhur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, sickness has come upon me. You are the most merciful. Have mercy upon me. So we make this dua for the three, those who have passed on. Allah Ta'ala grant them Jannah. Allah Ta'ala grant them the rank of shaheed. Those who have passed from this pandemic, as there is a hadith to that effect. The second, those who are ill, Allah Ta'ala grant them shifa. Allah Ta'ala grant them complete and a speedy recovery. Those who have been protected, Allah Ta'ala continuously keep them protected, because there is nothing better than asking Allah Ta'ala for afiyat.
We should continue to make these du'as on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to keep us safe. And those that are ill, continue to make du'a for them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them a speedy recovery. Like Mulana, like you said, that a believer never asks for difficulty. Even you should never ask Allah to grant you sabr, because that means that you're asking for some difficulty to come your way. But we should ask for afia. But at times a believer will be tested in different ways, and this also is a test and a challenge that they are facing.
Yes, the one thing that people do bring up is that why did Allah Ta'ala challenge us? Why did Allah Ta'ala bring difficulty upon us? Why did Allah Ta'ala try us? Now, we know that good and bad comes from Almighty Allah. In Surah Al-Falaq, for example, we ask Allah Ta'ala, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. Oh Allah, say, we seek protection from the Lord of Daybreak, مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ, from the evil of the creation. Right, so whatever there is from the creation, we're asking Allah Ta'ala's protection from that. So there is challenges that come from viruses. There are challenges that come from various ways. And we're asking Allah Ta'ala protection from all of that. So that is one of the aspects that we ask Allah Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala yamsaska Allahu bidurrin fala kashifa lahu illa hu. When any difficulty comes upon you, no one can remove it but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'a wa yakshifu su. Who is there who can remove the difficulty of people? And amma yujib, who can relieve the distressed person when he calls out? And who can remove difficulty? Ailahumma Allah, is it anyone besides Allah? No. So that comes from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing. Now, difficulty can come for various reasons. Among the reasons is, it can be a test. Hasib an-nas ayyutraku ayyakulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun. Do people believe that they will be said that we have brought iman and they will not be tested? No, they will be tested. Although we make dua, Allah, we are not worthy of being tested. Allah, grant us your favors without being tested, without testing us, because we are very weak. And normally weak children, they don't test, you know, they give them, let them go, because the educational standards have dropped. Even South African government has brought this pass rate to 30. So if we are weak, Allah Ta'ala will give us even, you know, Muhammad Tariq Jamil makes mention, he said, if the government can give 30% pass rate, then Allah Ta'ala is more merciful. And we are gone weak, we are so far from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, Allah Ta'ala will have more mercy upon us, inshallah. So Allah Ta'ala will pass us even with a little bit, as there's a hadith in Jami' al-Tirmidhi with regard to that. So I think it's important that we keep those particular aspects in mind, that Allah Ta'ala wala nabluwannakum bishayim, Allah will test you with fear, anxiety, sickness. Allah Ta'ala make it easy. Allah Ta'ala don't test us. We ask Allah, oh Allah, you also have the ability to test. We acknowledge that from the Quran. But you also have the ability to grant us goodness without testing us. And we ask you for that, because we are weak. We are far away from the time of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are living in difficult situations. We are living in challenging situations. Ya Allah, you grant us your favor without putting us through test. Huh? That is also one. And of course, sometimes Allah Ta'ala can bring about situations because of, you know, Allah Ta'ala can bring about difficulty, challenges because of reminding us. Listen, you know, rectify your ways, amend your ways. It's such a beautiful verse in Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, which I like to quote in this context because I think it covers the whole situation very aptly. We will make you taste a very minor punishment, which means some difficulty in this world, tuna al adhab al akbar, before the major punishment, because real retribution, real retribution for our deeds is not in dunya. So it's not the normal pattern that Allah Ta'ala punishes or rewards in this dunya. Right? Because this is Darul Amal, it's not Darul Jaza. Darul Amal means you are supposed to fulfill your responsibility. Darul Jaza means the place where Allah will recompense you in the year after. So Allah Ta'ala has kept the year after as a place for recompense. And this place is the place for doing amal. So the place of recompense is in the year after. So, but دون العذاب الأكبر, I just made you taste a little bit. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, that you might turn towards Allah. So here the difficulty is not as a punishment. It is a reminder to turn back towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many ayats of the Holy Quran that refers to this. And really, if listeners do have any questions with regard to this, one of the things that we must not do, and never ever feel that, you know, that the difficulty that is coming upon us, that Allah Ta'ala is singling us out, Ya Allah. Allah is very great that Allah must single you out for punishment or difficulty, Ya Allah. We don't do that. Huh? We ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always for afiyat. Allahumma ahrusni bi'aynika allati la tanam. Waknufni biruknika allati la yaram. Oh Allah, protect us with those eyes of yours and those gaze and vision of yours that slumber and sleep never overtakes. La ta'khudhuhu sinatu wala nawm. Waknufni biruknika allati la yaram. And who protect us with pillars that are strong. And warhamni biqudratika alayya. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us because of your qudrat over us. When we have acknowledged that you have power over us, when we have acknowledged that good and bad only comes from us, then oh Allah, have mercy upon us because of our belief that qudrat and power only comes from you.
To the listeners, you can interact with us. We always love to hear from you on this program. We are speaking about, you know, the third wave and advices on the third wave. Many people are going through difficulty. Many people are struggling. Many people have family members who are sick, who have passed on. Any advices or any points that you'd like to share with us regarding this topic, drop us a message, 072-786-1548. Perhaps you've heard something that inspired you, or if you've read of something that has helped you get through this period, share your message with us, 072-786-1548. We'll also open up the lines on 011-854-1548. Mala, you can continue.
Yes, I think another important point, ma'am, is that, and then another thing that very briefly before we go to the next point, sometimes difficulty comes from Allah Ta'ala to show us that who is in control of the destiny of humankind. Where he, you know, وَوَالْ قَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, he has full control over his bondsman. So Allah is the one who controls the universe. Allah is the one. So this is what actually, and I recall reading somewhere that one of the zikr and the azkar of the malaika is Subhana man istakhraja du'a bil bala. You know, glory be to the one who extracts du'a from people because of the difficulty and challenges that they face. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes brings about difficulty for you to recognize the overlordship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, where will we be, you know, remember Allah Ta'ala? وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ الدُّرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ قَائِمًا وَقَائِدًا. That when difficulty come upon a person, he asks and he makes dua, we're sitting and reclining all the time. And then when he فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ دُرَّهُ مَرَّ كَأَن لَّمْ يَدْعُونَا إِلَى دُرٍّ مَّسَّهُ. And then when it goes away, he carries on as if he never asked Allah Ta'ala for any assistance. So sometimes, you know, when these things come, it reminds us. So there can be some of these reasons why difficulty can come. It can be as a means of elevation, a means of trial, a means of warning us, or a reminder with regard to the ways that we have adopted. It can also be for us to recognize the greatness of Almighty Allah. Whatever it is definitely not something that comes about that Allah wants to single you out. Because if that was the case, then difficulty would not have come upon the close servants of Almighty Allah. And yet when we look at the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, whoever feels that, you know, this is, you know, Allah is bringing, why doesn't Allah Ta'ala brought upon the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's children passed away in front of him, he buried his children, may Allah Ta'ala protect us and never bring that challenge upon us. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's family members did not listen to them. right? I said, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, son did not listen to him. I said, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's wife was disobedient. So these are situations that we find. I said, Ayub alayhi salatu wasalam was ill. I said, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came into a different place without any provisions. So Al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam went through difficulties. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forced out of his own house. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forced to, you know, endure a social boycott for 3 years. So we never feel that, you know, Allah Ta'ala brings about. But we always ask Allah for afiyat. And when it comes, we ask Allah Ta'ala to relieve it, because no one can relieve it besides Allah.
A few messages that have come through this morning on the program. One say, Maulana Jazakumullah Khairan, lovely discussion. I think it's something that we need to speak about. And they say, Maulana, that the point that you make, that sometimes a test comes upon us or a challenge comes upon us, it's to show us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. And this is supposed to humble us. But we find that many times people have become more arrogant, even though they've been tested with this virus and with the pandemic.
You know, this is something that I made mention in the very beginning, that we are never supposed to be arrogant, even with regard to difficulty. We're never supposed to ask Allah and challenge Allah Ta'ala to bring it, because we are very strong in Iman. I mean, everyone should ask Allah Ta'ala for ease, afiyat. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his uncle Abbas, Abbas, ask Allah for afiyat. Who are we to say that, oh Allah, we can bear the difficulty? We don't ask that type of... And sometimes it might not be in terms of our saying it in so many words, but actually it shows in our attitude, the way we carry on and behave, as if we are all right, we can challenge it. No, we don't do that. It's not what the attitude that our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba had. They always asked Allah Ta'ala for afiyat. If after that it comes, then that's a different matter.
29 minutes past the hour of 9. This is the social program on Radio Islam International. This morning, Maulana Ibrahim Bam discussing advices on the third wave. You've seen a drastic and a dramatic spike in the cases in our country, more so here in Gauteng. It's been a difficult time for many people. Many families have been tested. And we're speaking a bit about that and the advices that you can give to them, or the lessons that we can learn from this as well. Share with us your thoughts on 072-786-1548. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. We take a short ad break. When we come back, we will continue. This is the social program on Radio Islam International. Maulana Ibrahim Bam with us in studio. We're speaking about advices on the third wave. Thus far, we've discussed that the difficulty that comes on a person. Firstly, we should never ever ask for any difficulty. Remember that it is from Allah. It's a test. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to check our actions, to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do good actions. And in the end, it shows us who is in control when these different challenges and tests come about. We should never ever ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test us. Rather, we should ask for afiyah, and we should ask for ease. Maulana, with this, with the rise in the numbers, and we've seen many people are sick, many people in hospital, many people have lost loved ones, and this is a time to really be compassionate, to say a few kind words to people, to sympathize with them. They really need that support. Many
Definitely.
People.
There's no doubt whatsoever. And taziyat, which we will call it, like, you know, means to console, comfort someone who is undergoing grief and difficulty with such words or action that will remove or lessen their grief. The aim of it is to strengthen the people who have had difficulty and give them hope at a time when they hope, maybe their hope might be waning. And this is very important. And I just go and say an encouraging word, Ya Allah. You know, we just take it for granted, yeah. And you know, the great thing is, we unfortunately as a community, we're sitting and arguing about things that does not impact upon the virus, the pandemic. It's a reality, whether you want to accept it or you don't want to accept it. People have seen it in front of their eyes. And at the end of the day, what we really need to be doing is now move beyond whatever the situation. People have taken stances. And I, for example, feel whoever has taken their stance, who is their stance? You have to believe it. You don't accept it. Don't accept it. People have taken stances. At the end of the day, let us look at the consequences. The consequences is people have had difficulty and challenges. People have seen people, their close family members, sick. Some have seen their family members move on. So what do we do? There is great reward for giving comfort. very, very great reward. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, Hazrat Mu'atani rahmatullahi alayhi has made mention of it in Shawqi Watan, a Muslim who consoles his next Muslim with regard to any difficulty that he has will be clothed, will be given a special garment, a garment of honor by Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Can you imagine? You say a few words of comfort to someone, Allah will grant you clothes of honor on the day of Qiyamah. You know, this thing is very interesting. Clothes of honor, just to give you an example. Like when people graduate, they give them something, right? So those who, for example, when they come alims, they give them the amama, the turban. Those who graduate in university, they give them the jacket or that hat. So it's a certain degree of honor. Can you imagine you said something to someone and gave him comfort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you clothes of honor on the day of Qiyamah? Allah will give you such great honor. Why can't we be hastening towards that type of reward? Instead of getting caught up in half of the, you know, unnecessary type of social media debates. Nowadays, anyone send me something, first I want to see what it is. Otherwise, I don't open. All these other, you know, there's a whole lot of great amount of this videos that come. First thing, you know, delete button. So I don't want to create unnecessary negativity in your mind. And maybe perhaps that is something that we need to do. Stop just, taking and forwarding more and more negativity. Something that stay away from it. So there's great reward for those people who undergo difficulty and they make sabr. And there's great amount of reward for those people who give comfort to the people who are undergoing difficulty. Mm. And from the hadith, you also learn that one who consoles an afflicted person will receive the same reward that the afflicted person receives due to his patience. He's going it through and you're giving him some sort of comfort. Allah gives you the same reward. Wallahi al-Azim, you know, there is always a time when there is a certain deed that is a priority of the time. There is certain times, there is something that is a priority of the time. In the time of Hijrah, that was the sign of Iman. If there is a deed of the priority of our time, it is to give comfort to people.
A message coming through here, Malana, just speaking about this comforting, consoling people. They say when we're talking to people who have lost multiple people, many people have lost, like, you know, father, mother, brother, few people in the family, in the family. And they're saying we don't know the right words to comfort them anymore. We can't even give them a hug. And normally a hug, it says more than any words can ever say. So how do we deal with this in the time that we're living in?
Inshallah, good question. We'll try and we'll work on it, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Continue to send through your messages, 072-786-1548. Or you could give us a call on 011-854-1548. Another point, when we speak, you know, about COVID and the coronavirus and so on, when we see it peak in it, is taking, you know, the necessary precautions and so on, and yes, understanding that we are living in a world which is Darul Asbab. It's a world of means. And
before I go, I just want to, maybe before we go into that, is that we look at this whole aspect of the question, how do you give people, how do you, it's an important thing. There's one amazing thing is that try and always speak about the reward.
Imam, before we go to that, we do have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It seems we have lost that caller. The lines are still open. Give us a call on 011-854-1548. Malan, just before that, you were speaking about the words.
I think one of the things is a few very important points. You never know. Try and give people encouragement. Encourage steadfastness, make dua for the bereaved, make dua for the people who are undergoing the difficulty. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala say, at the time of my father's death,
we do have that caller back on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mulana. Just give me a second, I'm driving. Mulana, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Marana, you know, we are now in the third wave, and Allah help all those people who have afflicted people in their families, who have lost beloved ones. But If we study the situation, the most affected community in South Africa now is the Muslim community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And unfortunately, not the doctors, not the lawyers, not the teachers, but the ulama are making the situation worse. I will give you an example. Last week, Friday, in Lanesha, the Musallis nearly came to blows because the Maulana who had the member was attacking people for
brother, what I'm going to ask you is that make mention of the point, but let us stay away from, you know, giving specific examples of people. Let's make mention of the point.
No, but Maulana, you know what the thing is? If I lose my children and I'm sitting there in the audience and a man is attacking us, all the person said is, please, Maulana, can you change the topic? And for that reason, they nearly came to blows. Hmm. But you see, all over the country, Maulana Taha passed away. There are ulama, not ordinary Muslims like us, who are attacking Maulana Taha. He's dead. They're still attacking him.
Hmm.
I don't know. The ulama, Maulana Bam, are not helping the situation at all. They're not giving us guidance and say, look, we are not sure what was the sunnah of Rasulullah concerning isolation, quarantining, masking. And some people, Maulana will tell us, yeah, you can go ahead and quarantine. Some people say, no, it's from Allah. You should take your precautions, but you should come to the masjid, stand shoulder to shoulder. We are being given different signals by our own imams.
All right, your point is made. Your point is made. I will respond to it.
Right, thank you.
You can continue to send through the messages on 0727861.
Well, I got two things that are very, very, two very interesting things. One is the point was where someone said there are multiple people who have passed on in the family. How do you give? I think don't underestimate giving kind words, encouragement, irrespective of the situation that came upon people. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, my father passed away. I was in such great distress. And Badu came and recited a poem, which gave me so much relief. And just look at what he said. And the latter portion of that poem was, better for you than Abbas is the reward that you will receive after him. And Allah is better for you than Abbas. Subhanallah, what a beautiful way. Wow. The person who has passed away, right? Allah is better for him than you. Allah is better for him than you. Mm-hmm. And for you, the reward that you will get is better than I mean, it's an amazing thing. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that. One thing that I will also just tell people, give people encouragement. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote a letter to Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal when his son passed away. It's a little bit of a long thing. We are running short of time. What I would say is that people just do a Google search on the letter of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu when his son passed away. Do a search on that and just look at that letter, what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him consolation. Use that as a basis of giving consolation. One thing I will tell people, that don't avoid someone who has been bereaved. Maybe you can't visit him because of situation. Right. I know people, because of what has happened, they have told people we're not accepting visitors because of the situation. But give a message. Give a WhatsApp message, SMS, or a phone if they are taking phone calls. Avoid telling someone who is grieving that I know what you are going through.
Right.
Because we don't know. Everyone's grieving process is different. Even if you had a similar situation, the experience is not the same. And be very careful of telling people to move on in their life. Let me repeat that. You know, we sometimes tell them, it's 1 month, move on in your life. How can you be so, you know, lacking compassion? You don't know what the person is going. Don't tell him that, move on. You know, try and make the circumstances easy for him to move on, or him or her. Don't tell them, move on. It's time for you to move on. It's already so long. Ya Allah. I mean, that's the worst thing you can tell someone. Don't tell someone to move on. Create the situation, create the words, create the attitude for them to move on, rather than telling them to move on directly, which is hurtful. And the second thing is, the brother made mention with regard to it, and I think one very important point, it is very irresponsible to throw water on the feelings of people. You know, by speaking in a way that is undermining the situation, you are actually, you know, hurting the feelings of the people who have gone through that. And I cannot understand what people get out of it. What joy do they get out of it? So be careful of don't throwing water over the difficulty people are going. And the brother made mention with regard to it. He made mention with regard to the ulama. Now, my point is, why can't people be more discerning? Why can't people be more discerning? There is a situation, you get doctor, you go to one doctor, the doctor say you must take a surgery. The other one say don't take a surgery. What do you do? It is a daily occurrence. Anyone who's got any sickness will know it. You go to the one whom you follow. Mm. Be discerning in the people whom you follow. And if you feel you want to follow someone, follow him without making a big thing about the other view.
Right.
So be more discerning. Mm. Surely people can be more discerning. But with regard to what is going on, who are the people who are talking responsible, who are, you know, you don't see them attacking other people, you don't see them belittling other people, you don't see them talking bad about other people, why can't you become more discerning?
Mm.
So don't only blame the ulama, blame yourself also. Surely you must be able to be more discerning as a community.
Mm.
And I think there are enough signs with regard to things that are there out for the discerning people what to do. So follow the ones and that you will be able to be, you know, find the ways to be more discerning.
Mm.
I think people should be more discerning because you're not going to be able to stop people airing their views.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to be able to stop it. So people, when the views have been expressed, especially now in social media, everyone has got a voice. Sometimes you say, okay, this man has been talking so much, let me go and see what is his situation. And he's got 10 followers. I say, what is he? Yeah, but you see, because everyone's got a voice.
Yeah.
So the point is, I think that it's time the community must become more discerning to be able to differentiate.
There will always be a difference of opinion in every matter, in many matters of life, and you need to choose whoever you want to follow and just leave out the other party or leave out others. There's no need to attack or ridicule or insult other people as well.
Let us be more discerning on the matter.
A few messages that have come through. One is, of course, we spoke about sympathizing with people, and they say you can never understand, you know, the value of a phone call or a message or even just helping people. Don't wait for them to ask for help if you have to just drop up a pot of food or a pot of soup if you know someone is sick. These are things that are always appreciated. Continue to send through your messages. Just before that, we were speaking about the dunya is a place of means. And
you know, this is I sometimes, again, you know, people say that this is like confusing. To me, it's let me give an example. There is one, the Qudrat of Allah, and one is the Sunnat of Allah. The Qudrat of Allah means the power of Allah. And the Sunnat of Allah is the normal pattern how Allah runs the affairs of this world. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا You will not find a change in the pattern of Almighty Allah, the Sunnat of Allah. Right? The pattern of Allah Ta'ala, the Sunnat of Allah is you have to adopt means because this is a world of cause and effect. Right? So that Allah Ta'ala can use the means to give you what Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wants to give you. Allah can give you without means. Allah can satisfy your hunger without food. Let me give you broad examples. Allah can satisfy your hunger without food. Allah can satisfy your thirst without water. That's the Qudrat of Allah, not the Sunnat of Allah. The Sunnat of Allah is you're hungry, you go and have food. So we are those who say, Tawakkul, I'm not going to eat. Allah will look after me. You eat. And to give you another broader example, Muayyad Shamil Tanwir Rahmatullah Ali used to give this example. He said, you make dua, adopt the permissible means to get that what you have asked Allah Ta'ala for fulfillment. And he used to say this, let me give you an example. You want children. You are now the age 30, 35, 25, 35, whatever you want. Allah must give me children, as a male or a female. I want to be a mother. I want to be a father. Right? How are you going to get it? Right? Now you're going to make dua every day to Hajjud. Oh Allah, give me children, and you don't get married. Huh? You can sing Sari Mare till the day of Qiyamah that you're not going to get children. You're not going to get children no matter what you do. Until you don't get married and you don't come, husband and wife don't get together, that children are not going to come. Then children are only going to come when you are intimate with you or with your family. Right? Now, that is a situation. Someone, I got life, tawakkul in Allah, I'm not going to use the means. Allah is going to give me children because I'm making dua at the time of tahajjud. It doesn't work like that. You know, the means Allah Ta'ala had said, get together, be intimate, then afterwards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will grant you children through that particular act of intimacy. Now that is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the qudrat of Allah. He brought Adam alayhi salatu wasalam without mother and father. He brought Hawa without the agency of a male. He brought Isa alayhi salatu wasalam without the agency of he brought Hazrat Hawa without the agency of a female. Brought Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam without the agency of a father. So this, it is a qudrat of Allah, not the sunnah of Allah. And that qudrat of Allah was manifested 3 times in the whole history of humankind. And it's not going to happen again. So that is, and now what do we do with regard to it? You get sick. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya Rasulullah, what should you do when you get sick? Adopt medication. Allah will give you cure through the medication. Allah can give you directly, but that's not the sunnah of Allah. I can understand when people get sick in other matters, they follow the doctor. Because that is the asbab, that is the means. So why can't you adopt the means in this matter? Why are you making this different? If you have got a prostate problem, or if you've got a heart problem, or if you've got a headache, you take a Panado. You can ask Allah, but that's how normally we are. So why is it that there's any difference with regard to the sickness? The very same doctors whom we go to when we have any problem, they are telling you that there's a method. Take the mask, do this, do that. Whether you want to accept it or not, that's yours. But that is a reality. It is something that the doctors are telling. Fasalu ahla dhikr, ask people of knowledge in their field. If you do not know, if you want to have your madrasa or your masjid books audited to present in front of the SARS, what do? You go to the accountant. Right? You don't go to anyone else. You don't go to a doctor. You go to an accountant. And if you are ill, you go to a doctor. And then these things with regard to it has been made mention by the ulama, and we have examples with regard to it from our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
We do have another caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. In fact, is Maulana Bam in the studio, or is he on Skype?
No, Maulana is with us in the studio this morning.
Because the other day I asked someone, where's Maulana Bam? I haven't seen him for some time, so I thought maybe he's... Anyway. Regarding this virus, I think it's high time Muslims take this thing seriously. It is for real. I can tell you the amount of people that I know who are currently at home affected by it, or in hospitals, on oxygen, or on ventilators. It's a reality, and we have to face this. It is a reality. I mean, there's so many people who passed away. Yesterday, I just got a message, a friend of mine, his wife passed away with COVID. This morning, for example, there's so many funerals, and, you just see the names, and someone brought it to my attention that, for example, I'll mention the name. One was late Ibrahim Bhai Suleiman, who passed away through COVID, and he was instrumental in fighting the SABC, for example, when they wanted to the film Jihad in America.
My musalli for many, many years in Newtown Masjid, yeah.
So it's a reality, and I think Muslims need to wake up and say, listen, we have to be responsible with this. I must just take this opportunity, Maulana, of just paying tribute. Sometimes we forget, to the people of the burial societies. For example, I have a friend who's here in Joburg, who's on one of the volunteer groups. And late at night, they've got to do burials, go to a hospital. They've got families, they've got it, but just volunteers. And he sometimes tells me, I'm tired. And I tell him, push on, Allah will reward you. For example, in Lens, I'll just give you an example. I know Sabri Chisti is doing the funeral there. I was at the funeral there once, and I saw this youngster with his PPE suit there. And I asked him, I said, brother, aren't you scared to do COVID funerals? And his answer to me was, uncle, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? And sometimes we forget that these people are sacrificing their time, going out odd hours of the late at night and doing it, and I think we should think about it. Also, in different areas, there are ladies who are cooking, who are making meals and sending out and going and dropping off at people's houses who got COVID. I think we should pay tribute to all these people, volunteers, who are just doing this for the love, and sometimes we tend to forget about it. And my last point I would say is, I think we need to be responsible as Muslims. We should be at the forefront at showing people sometimes, but sometimes, I'm sorry to say, we are irresponsible.
Yes. Jazakallah so much. I think those are very pertinent points. Jazakallah so much.
There's one more caller that we have on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I want to ask Maulana, I know it's a wrong time and place,
Maulana, if you want to do Ummah a very, very big favor, if you can look into a hospital plan or a medical aid.
Jazakallah for that. I really do. Jazakallah. I think in today's time, it is something that people should definitely look at because of the rising medical cost.
It's very expensive. You can't go to any medical aid. So I thought with the power of Jumiat and the popularity Maulana has, I think he can start something like that from the Jamiat office, and inshallah, it will kick off very nice and it will help the Ummah very, very much, because I just lost my wife last week also.
Jazakallah for that. Allah Ta'ala reward you. There are ways that people were looking at it, but that was also, there was a Muslim organization that were trying to doing it, but also they got into situations with regard to the law, that how the medical aid scheme works, etc. But inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for everyone. Allah Ta'ala make because that is something that is of great concern for people with regard to the rising medical cost. Jazakallah for that.
Jazakallah, Maulana.
Maulana, the other point with regard to the aspect of contagious disease. Now, we don't have the time, right? But for this, you must read the book of Mufti Taha Karan, where he has given so many different evidence with regard to contagion and contagious diseases, being a reality, that disease do move from one person to another. Farra min al judam, stay away from a leper the way you stay away from a lion. Then one of the amazing things that he quotes is Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi had said, it is a unanimous view of the ulama that there is contagion, that there is an aspect of disease which are infectious going from one person to another. Anyone who wants to have further details about this, Mufti Zakaria Pandor in yesterday's webinar on the vaccine had also given other evidence with regard to it. And one of the things that our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in a quandary whether to go to Sham or not, to go to the place where the Muslims were stationed in Sham, and he came to a place called Sarah, and at that particular time, should he have gone or not, there were various views. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu canvassed the views were given, and then Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was not in the initial mashura, came back and he said, he heard Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِالتَّعُونَ بأرض فلا تدخلوها وإذا وقع بأرض وأنتم بها فلا تخرجوا منها. That when you are you hear about a plague in a land, then do not enter it. And if it appears in a land where you are, do not leave it. Now, what is the reason? Why did our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that? Is because when you are through human contact, diseases transfer from one person to another. It happens with the permission of Almighty Allah. Just as if you cut yourself, there is going to be, you can't go and say everything happens by the permission of Almighty Allah, nothing will happen without the permission of Allah. Then you take a knife and you say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you cut yourself and say, no, it will only happen if Allah wants. You don't go and challenge and you don't go and do things like that which are reckless. You don't go and cut yourself and say, if Allah wants, Allah will let me, get cut or not. It's a normal cause and effect. So one of the things is that human contact, that such diseases travel from one person to another. Therefore, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this command that when there is a disease in one place, don't enter it. And when you are in that place, don't come out of it, because you are going to be the cause of it being infecting others. This is a situation. There is a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so sensitive. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you eat onion and garlic, don't come to the masjid. When you eat onion and garlic, don't come to the masjid. Now, what are you going to say, that Aliyadu Billah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preventing people from coming to the masjid? If you are going to cause harm. Now, onion and garlic, the harm of it is less than being infecting people. So if you are going to be at a risk with regard to being, the disease becoming infectious and becoming contagious, you stay away from it. So I think these are the type of things that come from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and understanding the sunnah of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qudrat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We've come to the end of the program. I don't know if there's anything else, but I would like to add on very quickly.
No, there's a lot of things, but I think yes, we need responsible. This is a reality, and we are guided by experts in everything. Sometimes they come right, sometimes they don't come right. Another thing that many people say, you adopt the means and it doesn't happen. Yes, it happens. Let me give you that example and conclude that example. For you to get children, you have to get married. Otherwise, you're not going to get children even if you make dua every day.
Right.
But after you get married, sometimes, you know, there is people get married, they become intimate, they try, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
But you have to adopt the means to be able to get it. But after adopting the means, it sometimes doesn't happen. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. Sometimes I wonder, people see a married couple who haven't got children for 5-10 years and say, you're not trying enough. Yeah, what you mean you're not trying enough? How you know you're not trying enough? So sometimes you have to adopt the means to get something, and sometimes you adopt the means and it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
So sometimes you can adopt the means and it's still you can still get ill. But you have to adopt the means to be able to bring the needs and to be able to fulfill the needs and stay away from harm.
Jazakumullah khairan for the lovely program this morning. I think many listeners enjoyed it. A few messages have come through. Thank you, Mulana, for the really important topic and the way that it was discussed. To the listeners, the podcast will be available later on our different social media handles. You can just follow us, so you would receive it via WhatsApp as well, available on the website and SoundCloud page as well. And with that, we come to the end of the program this morning. To all the listeners from ASEAN Studio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.